Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, best audience ever, to the Mission Accepted podcast show. Thank you so much for supporting, subscribing, sharing. Hey, those are all S words. Singing once again. You guys are fantastic. Thank you. You're such an interactive audience. I so appreciate. We've heard and we've brought forward you guys. Today, you're going to be, today is a very interesting guest. Today is, another S word, like a surprise guest. You're going to be very interested to the content. Probably someone that is going to share about something that you've never heard before. I love her story. I love her mission. That's what this is called, Mission Accepted. You know, she's, you know, I'll just drop a hint. You learned how to jump rope in school, but you sure in heck didn't learn about this. And so she's going to share what this is. But first, if this is your first time on the show, thank you so much for checking us out. Hit the little button and subscribe because it just keeps getting better and better. And if you are listening, if you are an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, or you are creative, singer, writer, actor, author, director, you're in media and you've taken on the mission to be self-funded, guess what? We want you on the show. And I know you want to be on the show because we have a little bit of a lineup. So get in the lineup, get on the waiting list, you guys. We got some really great stuff going on. So we'd love to hear from you. Absolutely. And you know how to reach us. Okay, so let's get into the crux of it. Again, if you're new, welcome to the show. Melissa. Melissa, I met through, well, guess what? The world of media. No surprise, right? As we are now branching back into that beautiful place of getting together, I can't wait to meet her in person. She has a very interesting story on what she does. And I don't want to take that capture away. I just want to say that we've had an opportunity to meet alongside some very incredible women. I was very intrigued about what she does because you guys know I've got 30 years background in health and wellness, whether you're talking pharmaceuticals. And this woman is very versed in all. That's it. That's your teaser. So I'm going to bring on Dr. Melissa, and her puppy are coming onto the show. See, if you're not watching live, you're like, what? I'm missing out. Anyways, if you hear a little doot, 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 that's what happens when you get to work from the gorgeous library that she's in. So Melissa, welcome to Mission Accepted.
Thanks, Deborah. It's an honor to be here, and I have accepted my mission, so I'm excited to share.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's start with that a little bit. I mean, I know you've got a show you're going to share about. You got, you know, you're a TV show host. You hit number 3 international bestseller 3 times, so you kind of know what you're doing. But why don't you take us back a little bit? Because that's the thing about entrepreneurship, that sometimes when you are one, you pivot and go in a different direction. Are we sick of the word pivot yet? I don't know about you guys, but I am. So you change direction, you go the left side to the right side of the path, and or you're kind of jumping at the bit. We know that some entrepreneurs, you know, they went to school, they got their MBA, they strategically planned out the next 5 years of the business, and they jumped in and realized it wasn't quite what they thought. Or they had their back against the wall and someone in the house lost their job or something changed in their industry, or they just couldn't get up and go do that job anymore. And they were like, you know, love it or no love it, I'm jumping off the cliff. Tell us, how did you get into this world of entrepreneurship?
So I got into the world of entrepreneurship before the pivot, but it was a pivot in my life. I was a very successful pharmacist. Yes, I am a pharmacist, very successful pharmacist at the top of my career, assistant director, running a residency program. And my health started to kind of suffer, because I hadn't been paying attention to the signs. Our bodies are very smart, and I wasn't listening. And so it took me a little while. It took me about 4 years actually to realize that this was going on. But during the transition of this, I found somebody who helped me get to the root cause of my problem, help fix me. I needed to have surgery, which was a very traumatic event for me. And I looked back and I said, do I want to put my health at risk again to go back into this career that I have, which I loved what I was doing, but there were some underlying things and some things going on that shouldn't have been going on. And so after having surgery to open up my throat, that's right, my throat had closed off, and I decided that I didn't want to go through that surgery again because the surgeon told me, you'll be back in 6 months. You're going to have this done again. I was like, no, I don't think so. And so I pivoted out of my career at that point. I thought, oh, let me go and do something different. No, all I did was take 180 degrees and came back to pharmacy, but working for myself as a consultant and doing the things that I've been doing for years, helping optimize your medications and taking it a second step. Because in my clinics that I ran, I did this. I sat down and I looked at medications. I looked at supplements. I looked to make sure you were taking what was right for you, that you weren't getting a lot of extra medications, which happens these days. And so that's kind of where I transitioned out. And so now I do this on a different scale, you know, not for somebody else, but for myself, to help the individual patients, to help the employers, to have better employees. So I work with a lot of employers that to help them have better healthcare, because right now we have a sick care system. And so that's where I'm at now, is working with that and incorporating the holistic and allopathic, the Eastern and the Western. That is my specialty. I know the supplements, I know the medications, I know the, how they affect their body. And we'll talk a little bit more about that jumping rope and versus what we didn't learn in school. And that's another piece of our health that has to do with our mentality, our mental health.
You know what I love? I just want to stop here a little bit and talk about what you said in terms of you loved your career. So I understand that. And ironically, I was in the holistic, you know, I had a private health studio for 27 years. Me, like you, I mean, if I worked on 30,000 clients, I know for sure you helped that and then some, because you had that layering effect. So your impact was so much grander in terms of numbers. And when you come to that place, that's a very difficult place. I want to really hats off to you, because if anyone's listening, when you're loving what you're doing and it's serving you in many different ways, but there's that little tiny voice. Like for me, it was, I could go to another opportunity, which I did end up going to. So it was like, I'm going from good to good, right? But it's the same thing for you. Like there's a voice, and I think it's harder sometimes to go from what you love to something that is new that you love, because, you know, and then you also talked about how the body starts to talk, right? The body is so smart, but when something's working, it's really hard. It's like stepping out of a good relationship. It's like, but it's working, but there's a niggle, you know? And metaphysics would have a whole lot to say about your throat chakra, but that's a whole different ballgame, right? I'm sure you've heard that conversation. But really, what was it like to go from what you love to what you love? Like,
scary.
Yeah.
It was scary because I had doubts. I have this knowledge. I have all this wisdom, and I still doubted myself. Yeah. I doubted myself as an entrepreneur that I could take the same exact thing I was doing and do it for myself. Yeah. And that took a long, hard path for me to really get to know myself inside and out better, pulling in the emotional pieces of health, mindset training, spiritual, you know, really. And this is both Christianity and believing in myself. That was so difficult for me for so long. I could walk out and I could walk into a pharmacy and I could run that pharmacy. No problem. I mean, I ran the one where I was at. But take me out of that. And it was like, what do I do? What do I do? And all these pieces, I mean, there's so many pieces that it was just, it was very scary. And belief was one that I struggled with. I know a lot of other entrepreneurs struggle with because it is scary. And it's believing in ourselves that we can do it, that we're not going to be an imposter was, I mean, I'm still climbing the hill and I still have my days where I slide back down. And I've overcome where I was. I've grown so much.
It's very true. I mean, it is really a process. When you say 4 years to kind of, when for the body to talk loud enough for you to listen, that's actually probably below average, really. You probably caught it pretty quick. I mean, your body obviously talked louder, which is what happens. Things get louder. Books start flying off shelves at you instead of you coming across at your girlfriend. So you should read this book. You're like, yeah, sure. But they start flying off the shelf. You know, I think when things start to line up, when you talk to people that have kind of gone from one part of their career to another, or corporate to entrepreneurship or vice versa, what have you, that inkling tends to go on longer than I had an epiphany one day, 3 weeks later, I'm going to jump. Now people do make those life decisions and they can make them quick, but chances are there was some dialogue, inner dialogue going on before about either they're not making enough money or they're not spending enough time with family or they're missing out on something. So 4 years is actually pretty normal, I think, for someone to start to wonder or question or take back or listen or what have you. And I think you've nailed it. It really is about belief. And honestly, the more you grow, the bigger you grow, the obstacles you go through. I mean, I was asked to do a quote in a book that actually our company is producing, and I had to throw it. I'm like, faith is a major component of success. Right. And I think that you've really shown that. So anyways, let's not keep the audience, you know, in suspense much longer. So you went from, you know, working for someone else to working for yourself. You're obviously in the same field, which is relieving to a lot of people, like, oh, I don't have to completely turn myself inside out. So how have you made it now? I know that you have this, when you talked about mental health, we don't learn about it in school. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So mental health is, it's one of those stigmas. We've put a label on it. And so we think somebody whose mental health is, they are schizophrenic, they're having issues where they can't function on their own. Well, let me tell you that mental health also includes anxiety. Depression, stress. These are the things, as well as your mental day-to-day, how you talk to yourself. That's part of the emotional and mental together. But how we speak to ourselves affects our mental capacity. And I say mental health in a good way, because we talk about physical fitness and physical health, what we, you know, what we're doing for our body, what we're eating, how we're moving. Mm-hmm. Those are physical things. Mentally, we need to focus on our health. And it's not just a stigma that it's a bad thing. We all go through periods of depression. We've lost somebody. Mm-hmm. We go through periods of anxiety, driving down the road, walking outside, you know, just little things. These are natural things because our bodies are built to handle certain pieces of this. And then at times, how our stress level, our stress affects a lot of things in our body. So stress can cause depression, stress can cause anxiety, stress can cause high blood pressure. Stress can cause a lot of things, like causing my throat to close off. That was a thing that took me a while to get to, you know, when they said, mm-hmm. we don't know what's causing it. And I started looking back, it was the stress. Even though I was happy and I had ways in place to manage that, it wasn't well enough. It wasn't.
Right. Well, I think that a lot of times people forget. And that's why I love your approach, Melissa, because you kind of got this whole circle approach, like this whole life approach. And I actually think that's kind of what you've named your program. We'll get into that in a minute. But I love how you look at the whole picture, because you know, I share with people, and myself included, I just came back from a 1-day meditation retreat, and people are like, oh yeah, you really need that. But I'm like, I think that people forget that their mental health solutions, whether it's meditation, supplementation, you know, whatever it is that you're advising them to do in your program, that as their stress gets increases, sometimes we don't remember to increase our mental health care, and or we actually drop it because we start getting busy. You know, my daughter just had a baby. My mother needs my time. I'm launching a new project, and we increase our stress thinking it's only going to be temporary, but yet we forget to raise the bar on this as well, because we come into a time conflict or what have you, or we think the stress is going to decrease quicker than it actually does. So maybe talk about that a little bit. And you've got this whole kind of body encompassing program that I think is really important for people to recognize that as your stress goes up, you need to up your game here.
Yeah, exactly. One of the hardest things for me to do was to put those big pieces in my calendar first, taking care of myself, doing my physical activity, doing mental things, mindset, meditation, yoga, put those in my calendar that I had time to do that. Family, faith, all of these things, these are these big balls that we need to put in our calendars first and let the other things filter in. And that's because when we take care of those big things first, we actually are reducing the stress on our body, because we're taking time to eat nutritiously, taking time to move our bodies, taking time to read and read something that's stimulating to your brain, taking time to meditate, think on your day. There's been studies out there that show that the more time you spend in meditation, the greater your impact, the greater your ability to work, and you're actually going to work less. It sounds weird, but because you're taking time to be in silence for yourself, and you need that. And how you talk to yourself, look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you love yourself. You love yourself. I love my hair. I love my smile. I love my eyes. Whatever it is, you want to talk to yourself like your best friend, because that will set you up for success. No matter where you're at, whatever you're doing, you have a day to be, you're a mom and you're a stay-at-home mom, and that's all you do. Get up 5 minutes earlier, take a couple minutes to meditate, take a couple minutes to look yourself in the mirror and say, this is going to be a great day. You love yourself. Whether you're staying at home or whether you're going off to work, either way, when you take that just extra few minutes, your day is going to be so much more powerful. And that's that aspect of that mental and emotional health mm-hmm. that we need crucially.
And like you said, when you're taking that time for yourself, we all get up and we are all questing, you know, taking care of children, taking care of someone at the office or whatever it is that we're doing. And I think that when you take that time to recognize, right, then it's interesting for people to actually recognize that they're doing something good for their health, right? Like that's a longevity piece. That's, you know, hey, listen to Dr. Melissa. She's like, hey, this is better than taking something in the morning to feel better about yourself. If you're able to do it yourself and give yourself that, and all the endorphins that go off and all the goodness that comes from that. So share with us a little bit more about, okay, so you've got this program, and what does it include in the program? Because I love how, when we were talking earlier, you know, your gift is taking a look at what people take. And I don't know the studies. This is not my expertise. This is so your expertise. And you share that people are over-medicated or over-supplemented, and being able to take a look at what they have, I think that's quite unique. It was one of the things that really drew me when we first met. I was like, wow, to be able to have someone with the expertise that's not attached, right, to saying, this is what's best for you. Tell me a little bit about that, because I think that's quite unique.
Absolutely. So I take a holistic approach with a W. So I say whole body health, or holistic with a W, because it does incorporate all those things. Looking into see what you're taking, medications, supplements, because there's pieces that you could be having safety concerns with the medications that you take. Now, I'm going to throw out a couple of statistics just because that's I do like to do that. Yeah. But each year, so in 2021, there was, and my puppy's going to chew on my hair now. 2021, there was 4.5 billion prescriptions filled in the United States.
Okay.
And 60% of the population also takes supplementation.
Right.
Now, with that, there's interactions. Mm-hmm. There is interactions with the supplements that you take. We also want to make sure that there's interactions with supplements and other supplements, not even if you're not even taking prescription medication. So you got to keep that in mind and have an expert look to see what you're taking. Is it really for you, or is it just because your friend started taking it?
Right. Now
there's great things that are good for us that our neighbors can benefit from, but there are also things that not always the right thing for you. And right. So with optimizing the amount of medications and supplements that you're taking, we can help reduce the number of adverse events that are happening. So each year, approximately 2.1 million prescriptions produce an adverse event.
Right. Now,
this doesn't count the supplements. The supplements, we only hear about adverse events if it was so severe that it was like life and death.
Right, right, right.
Because they're not regulated. But with my entry-level whole body health program, we look at the basics. We look at how much water you're consuming. We look at gratitude. We look at your sleep. Sleep is a huge thing. We didn't even really touch on that today. Sleep is a huge thing for your mental wellness, for your physical wellness. There's a lot going on with sleep. And then we look at your nutrition. We look at your movement activity. These are pieces that are part of that whole body health initial package.
Right. Thank you for explaining that, because people, you know, this is not, that's why I said you guys are going to be in for a surprise, that you're going to be that fourth S, because people are like, so what does she do? And how does it play out, and how do I benefit? And I think it's also a very interesting vocation, like for people to see that you can build your own business out of the pieces or the things that you've learned without having to change everything altogether. As an entrepreneur, so just straight, like, you know, just now as an entrepreneur, what do you find are some of the things that have made you so successful? You've got your TV show now, you've written books, and you've been doing this for a while. So what are some of the, you know, I always say it's great to share tips and tricks and trades and with people that are looking to do the same thing, whether you're in the same industry or not. Like, what's some of the success things that you can share with our audience that's been really beneficial for you to get your business to where it is?
So the most beneficial things that have been for me, setting my alarm a little bit earlier, getting up and making time for me to read through a book that's inspirational, doing my gratitudes in the morning, doing my gratitudes in the evening again. Those have been the two things to help push me forward. And that helps with my belief in myself, because mm-hmm. taking time to do that and taking time in prayer and silence, that has helped push me the furthest in my business. Realizing what I have inside of me, that took a while for me to figure that out. But yeah, taking that time and meal prepping is huge.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. I don't think anyone's ever said that one yet. Oh my gosh. Talk about that.
That when we meal prep and we plan ahead, so I plan out a menu. And I plan out the week. Now, it doesn't always go 100% according to plan, but I plan the menu and I prep the meals, and then I portion them and I freeze the things. So I freeze chicken and I freeze beef. And to help, because if I have that ahead of time, then if I get delayed doing something, my husband can help pull it out of the freezer. He can pop it in the oven and it's much easier. But if we don't plan or we don't prep, then we get down and it's like, okay, well, it's 6 o'clock now. And well, you know what? The kids got to go to soccer and we still have to do this. And then we end up driving through something that's not the healthiest for us.
Right.
And so meal prepping and planning. I would say that's very key.
I think that's an excellent, I mean, because we talk about organizing, and when we talk about organizing for entrepreneurs or people in the world of business, or, you know, you're a singer, you're trying to go for your first break or your 12th break and you want to get onto a show or whatever. When you think of organizing, you tend to think of organizing your desk. You think of getting yourself a great day planner, which, you know, we can do. You're thinking about tracking your prospects or your leads or your marketing or your social media or what have you. And it's really, for me, what I'm getting from you, it's that inside job. You know, it's that inside job. You're doing that inside work to train your brain for success. Like, you really, when I hear you go into silence, reading inspirational books and taking time for yourself, that is a top performance technique. That is critical. I remember reading Mary Kay Ash's book, and she said, like, you know, none of us have more time. And she did exactly that. She got up, I think, 15 or half an hour earlier, and stayed at the office desk a little half an hour before, after, and meal prepping. And she said, she remembers talking to, because obviously, let's face it, she started in a generation where it was women selling Mary Kay. I know there's men that sell it now, but she was selling, you know, it was mostly women. And she said, it was painful just to get these women to agree to have someone else come in and clean their home. Like, they were going to make so much more money going to do a show or helping their team. And she said, women had to get over the fact that their laundry wasn't going to be folded the same way that they would. Or, and she was literally in her book, she was like, I was telling them they just have to teach the person doing the laundry how they like their dish towels folded, because all of that gave them more time for themselves. It gave them not just time to duplicate and to go do business, but self-care, that it was actually an act of self-care, and how critical that piece is to not only success and happiness as an entrepreneur, but honestly, just as a human walking around the planet, having that time to yourself and that self-care is successful. So I'm so glad that you touched on that, because it's something that a lot of people forget, right? It's like, you know, and I, sometimes people don't like the word hustle. I mean, I actually don't have any issues with it at all. I think that, that's what you're doing. I know that, you know, I've talked to a lot of people and they're like, when you're building something, there's not a lot of balance, right? When you're in the build, there's not a lot of balance. But I really appreciate that, because Sunday is kind of my day to do a lot of that prep. Mm-hmm. I do the prep of all the basic stuff, and then I go get some fresh vegetables because I have a market that's half a block away. But, you know, that's excellent. So I don't want to kind of take over the whole interview, but I do want to ask, from someone who's gone from corporate to entrepreneurship, what are some of the things that has surprised you? Like, I love asking people, you know, we all think that there's going to be some freedom or there's going to be this, but what's been one of your biggest surprises? Is it someone that you met? Was it something like, what has been one of the biggest surprises in being an entrepreneur that you have found pretty incredible?
So I would say probably the pretty incredible things is the people that I've met. The unique individuals I didn't know existed, because outside of the corporate world. I mean, it's almost like I lived under a rock, because it's all these people that it's like, wow, you do that? And I didn't know that could be done. And so all of the amazing people that I've met, networking, I would have to say is one of the most incredible things.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And hasn't it gotten really different in this last little while of all these people? What is it? The Great Resignation. And now apparently they're calling it the Great Revelation, because people are realizing that going into business for themselves may be a little interesting. Not as, you know, now we're getting into the work of things, right? Maybe a year's gone by and we're getting into the work of it. So so how can people hang out with you, Melissa? Like, they want to read one of your books, or they want to listen to you on your show. Like, what are the topics that you have on your show? What, how can they get some information or a website? Like, share with people what it is that how you're taking your work to the world.
Absolutely. So one of the easiest ways to learn more about me is to go to my website, drmelissabalizan.com. So it's drmelissabalizan.com. And you can find, there's a link to my TV show. So my TV show is on the Win-Win Women Network right now. And it also goes directly to Roku. So if you have Roku out there, then you can watch on there. I talk about health topics. We talk about all aspects of the health, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. Talk about supplementation. I talk about certain disease states. So there are certain disease states that we talk about. We talk about stress, self-care, basically anything under the sun that has something to do with medicine, which is a lot of things we talk about. What nutrition plan, things, what, how to move your body. Those are things that we talk about on the show. And then I do have a special for all of you listening today. If you go to drmelissabalizan.com/TV, there's a link on there. There's actually three different links. So there's a special on there that you can get a copy of 5 questions that you should ask your healthcare provider before you start a medication or a supplement. There's also opportunity on there for you to look at my whole body health package that I have, as well as if you're ready to book a call with me, it's right there on that special link right there for you.
Awesome. So I want to ask you, because you're a holistic approach kind of lady, and we've talked a little bit, and I know that you know that I have a history in music, and I use music as one of my, I say, master healers, right? It's like kind of like there's God, love, and music for me, right? What is your feeling, or do you have an opinion on how music helps one in mental health or physical health?
I do. I love music as well. And music, I'm not going to say I've heard a quote, you know, actually I'll make up my own. The world without music, there just wouldn't be a good world, because there's so many things. Music therapy I have used. One of my specialties is pain management, pain solutions. Mm-hmm. Music therapy has been great for pain solutions. Music therapy is great for when you just need to sit and be by yourself, when you want that quiet music, or you want that loud music, you want to sit and have a dance party by yourself. My husband has music all the time. We always have music going, no matter where we're at. If I want my quiet time for a minute and he walks in the door, he's like, why is it so quiet in here? So we have to turn the music on. I'm like, I just needed 30 seconds. I just needed a little bit. But music is so inspirational. It can pick you up. It can help you heal. I love music.
Well, I'm definitely going to be picking your brain. My audience knows, because we've been talking about it for a while. And I just realized yesterday that we've been talking about this for 11 months. We've finally taken the walk across Ireland to the next level and have an incredible project manager that's come on. So you're going to be hearing more about it. But walking the length that we're doing, 297K across Ireland to raise money for the music industry, I'll definitely be texting you and tweaking you and picking your brain a little bit before I go. It's my goal to take people's favorite music, because we've got a long walk to do, and take in and put their songs into a playlist and be listening to it. So I just want to ask, before I ask you just one final question, if there was anything else that you wanted to share with the audience around your services, your support, any messaging that you want to get out there about betterment of health, before I ask you just such a really important question.
couple of key things. I just want to make sure you get your medications checked out, your supplements checked out, because what you don't know could kill you about what you're taking. And I would say one tip, don't keep your medications and supplements in a medicine cabinet in the bathroom. Don't do that. It's not good. I don't know where that came from, but don't keep them in the bathroom. Moisture changes them. So keep them.
No worries.
Oh, pardon me. Moisture can change the outcome of those medications and supplements. I keep mine in my kitchen cabinet. And I am so grateful that when I was young, my mother kept hers in the kitchen cabinet. So I learned, even before I went to pharmacy school, not to keep them in that bathroom.
Wow. I mean, that's a master tip. I mean, people just don't think about that, because they had, you know what, they had the cabinets and you could, and it just seemed obvious, right, that you would put them in there. But I've often wondered about that. I've often wondered that. And then even under the bathroom sink, I mean, and that's where the child lock stuff came in. It's so dangerous for pets and kids to have something that's so accessible to their height, right? And mm-hmm. pills look like candies, you know, that kind of thing. So that's a great, that's great. Is there anything that should be kept in the fridge? Sometimes people keep things in the fridge. So is there anything that people wouldn't know to keep in the fridge that would be a good idea?
Let's see. Certain, well, most probiotics need to be kept in the fridge.
Okay.
That's something. Most of your other things, majority of your supplements and medications are going to be stable at room temperature. They will degrade when you take them in a vehicle. So you have to keep that in mind. But for the most part, if something comes from your pharmacy marked with it needs to go in the fridge, then try and keep it in the fridge. A lot of suspensions.
And let's finish off with this before your big important question. Everybody put your hand up if you've had medication or supplements that you've kept past the expiry date. What's your opinion on that, Dr. Melissa?
Okay, so for safety wise, because medications may kill you. So this is a whole book I could write on this.
Okay. There's your next number one bestseller.
Exactly. So a couple of tips. If you haven't taken all of the medication, that could be a problem. The medication is expired now. Well, it's not going to work the same. I can tell you that it's not going to work the same. The thing is we don't know 100% if it's going to work less or more. So it could become more potent. So the safety that's put in place is we know that a certain expiration, it's good to work how it was studied to produce A plus B equals C kind of results, but afterwards. So I would have you ask the question, okay, was that an antibiotic I didn't finish? Was it blood pressure medication my doctor switched me on or I no longer need anymore? So there's deeper layers that we need to go through, but as a general rule, if it's expired, you probably shouldn't take it any longer and you need to find a way to safely dispose of it. And then probably need to talk about some adherence things.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I just think it just came to my mind when you talked about pharmaceuticals and things like that, because by nature, people are like, well, I paid a lot of money for this, so I'm just going to keep it just in case. And one of those, I think for sure, is antibiotics. I mean, I was guilty. I'm like, well, I didn't finish these. Not that I take them often, but I was like, so maybe I should put them. I'm a big earthquake kick person. Like if you're close in my heart, if I'm giving you earthquake kits for Christmas, I'm like, oh, I can always put them in the earthquake kit because in an earthquake, well, you may need something, right? So there you go. I was just completely transparent with you people. Okay, the big question, are you ready for it?
Yep.
All right, so now that I know that you love music, I know this is gonna be either a really hard question to answer or a really easy question to answer. So this is it. You're on your way to a desert island, just you and you, that's it. And you're taking one suitcase and you have enough room for one album. The album that you would never not want to listen to. And no, you can't have two or three. You have to have at least an album. I'm not telling you one song, but what album would you be packing in your suitcase to go over to that desert island forever and a day?
Wow.
I know.
Well, I know the artist, but I don't know.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. What's the artist?
I would take Carrie Underwood with me.
Oh, right.
I love the variety of her songs, from Christianity to deep country. I just love that. So I don't know that I have a specific. I have to figure out which album. Probably have one that at least has one Christmas song on it, because I love Christmas music.
Okay. Oh, hey, I'm an Alabama Christmas. That's my favorite Alabama's Christmas album. So I get it. Okay. So Carrie Underwood, at least one Christmas song. All right, that's the one that you're taking.
Yeah.
Wow. What a pleasure. I feel that not only have I been educated, but I've been inspired. And I love what you've done. Congratulations for making the shift. We're not going to call it a pivot anymore. Congratulations for listening to your body and knowing that's what it was, right? Being awake enough to not have that experience in 6 months. So many people go, oh, okay, I'll be back in 6 months, right? And they don't take an inside change when things are good. I mean, Tony Robbins talks about that. There's really only two motivators, pain and pleasure. And it's rare that someone makes a huge shift when they're already in pleasure, right? So congratulations for that. And yeah, with that being said, I want to thank the best podcast. I won't say TV because, you know, she's on the show, but you're the best audience ever. We so appreciate your support. We know that you're going to share this episode. Please get it into the hands of anybody and everybody that you think can benefit, including yourself. You guys know to pop on over now to They Did It Tour Facebook group. And yes, I'm going to pre-announce theydiditour.ca. So we've got this incredible walk, this philanthropy for music that's going on. So you can go to the website, you can subscribe and keep on top of what we're going to be doing all the way up until August 2023. And oh my gosh, maybe even longer, but let's not go there. Let's just talk about August 2023. So thank you so much for being so supportive. Melissa, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're a busy lady, and thank your puppy. I just love that we can do our work and be entrepreneurs from wherever we are. So if we need to take our dogs or our kids or our family, or, you know, we're at a bridal shower and we need to pop out and go on a Zoom, we can do that.
Exactly. Thank you so much for having me, Deborah. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Great audience and great speaker. Thank you for being with us today. We will see you again. Talk soon. Bye for now.